Can You See Me Now? By Tricia Saklecha. Read by Avita J. and Aisha Kala. Prologue. Look closely. Can you see them? They're like fireflies, shimmering, dazzling, buzzing with promise and confidence. Plaid skirts hiked impossibly high. Ties askew. Shirt sleeves rolled up to show off matching friendship bracelets on slender wrists. Take it in. Watch how the other girls trail after them, hoping some of their magic will rub off. Watch how the boys pretend not to notice them. Watch how they indulge their audience for a minute before returning to their private little world. Oh yes, they know you're watching. Keep looking. Watch how the one at the center throws her head back when she laughs, how she adjusts her hijab, the silk sliding off curls that want to run wild. Notice how the one on her right rolls her eyes, then takes her friend's arm, their bodies naturally in sync, matching each other step for step. Look, finally, at the third girl, the timid one. Look how she picks up pace, moves closer, tries to flick her hair and move her hips the way they do. Look closely. The beauty, the intimacy, the possibilities. Together, they're dynamite. Remember this moment. Remember what it was like before. Because by the end of the year, this trio, this friendship, will no longer exist. They'll burn out quick and bright, the way fireflies do, and leave darkness in their wake. One girl dead, one lost, and one on the run. Bound together by a secret that will haunt them forever, and a crime they will never escape. Alia. I stand in the shadows and watch the last few members of the audience settle in. The lights have been dimmed, but the mid-morning sun filtering through the windows is enough to illuminate the auditorium. It's packed, nearly every seat occupied by graduates and their professors. I shiver. Even though it's nearly November, the aircon is turned on and the thin chanderi sari I'm wearing provides little warmth. I realize I'm standing directly underneath a vent and take a few steps to the right until I'm practically engulfed by the thick velvet curtains. I can hear my staff in the background, talking in low murmurs. They know not to speak to me before a speech. I run through the talking points in my head one final time, then I go into the news app on my phone and hit refresh. I reread the message my husband sent me this morning before his flight to New York. I scroll through my emails, Twitter, Instagram, WhatsApp. Everyone has a different response to nerves. Some people take deep breaths, go still, and tap into an inner space of calm and reflection. Me? I've never been that person. I'm the eccentric method actor before a premiere. My breathing becomes shallow. My heart rate speeds up. My mind races. I fidget. I'm used to this, so I know that it's not until I'm out there, mic in hand, my skin warm under the spotlight, that the anxiety will melt away and a false confidence will take its place. I'll step into character. But I can sense an edge to my usual dread today, an irrational foreboding that has crawled under my skin and wrapped itself around my chest. I look around even though I know my team has already swept the auditorium. I see my personal protection officer standing a few feet to my right, hand resting casually on his hip, cradling his holster. I can't see him, but I know the second PPO will be standing in an almost identical position in the wings across the stage. The two additional PPOs that my chief of staff, Umar, insisted I bring along are standing at the back of the hall, keeping an eye on the audience. With 3 months to go until the general election, every precaution is